This message is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. Pastor Kevin Myers delivers the teaching entitled, God is More Present. This is the second message in the series, What Was I Thinking? We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
So welcome to 12 Stone across the campuses in this back to school season. And for these 4 weeks, we are discovering four truths about God that you may not know. Oh, you may have heard of them, but you may not really know them as truth. But once you know them deep in your soul, once they settle in, become a part of you, oh, they will change the way you live. They will transform your life. So what do you think about God? Well, over this past summer, my son Jaden, who's now in eighth grade, was regaling me with Disney's Walk the Prank Show videos. And we're enjoying those during this series. So this particular prank hoax is helping answer the question, are we alone? Is there other life present among us? Now the target of this particular prank or hoax is Mary, a house sitter. And Mary, well, with an elaborate effort, gets introduced to aliens. Check it out.
So here's how we pulled this prank off. First, we built a fake meteor and put it into our fake pool house. Next, we needed a huge boom sound to convince our target that the meteor really crashed. Then we put Bailey and Herman into makeup, and now we're ready. Meet Mary. She has no idea what's about to happen. She also has no idea that Jasmine is in on the prank. After about 10 minutes, Mary's had time to relax. Now it's time to crash land our meteor.
No!
Darling, you need to calm down. It's just outside.
No, what is that? What is that? Jasmine.
What?
I told you this house is haunted. I told you.
Dude,
sensed it. Jasmine, there's
a snap.
Fire.
Okay, there's blood. Okay, come on, let's go out.
Yo. Wow, she's really on the hook. And remember, dude, she has no idea she's on hidden camera.
No, it's fine.
Whoa! Whoa! Did you guys hear that?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hey, hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hey, yo! Yo, hold up.
It sounded like something hit the house.
Dusty and I wanted to get some footage of the target on our phones, so we pretended to be neighborhood kids who heard the explosion and came running.
Where's the kid next door? What happened
here?
We live
next door. You guys live here?
Yeah,
you guys are neighbors?
Yeah, you live next door.
A meteor. That's super crazy.
She actually believes a meteor crashed into this house.
What?
Oh my gosh.
You guys.
What's happening?
We need to call someone.
Is there a hotline for this kind of stuff?
Their dog.
Wendy. Lily, we have to get the dog. No, we have to get the dog.
By the way, there's no dog in distress. It's just a recording. But Mary doesn't know that. So she's going in to rescue the dog anyway.
Dude, we need to go get the dog.
What is its name?
Doesn't look like a dog to me.
Okay, it's in there. We have to get it. Yo, we have to get it. We have to get it. We have to get it. It's not her.
Jasmine!
Lily!
This is so normal.
Lily!
Okay, two aliens have scared her. How about a third?
Come on, let's give it up for Mary. She entertained us. Out of curiosity, how many of you think you would have been sucked into the prank? Like, you would have started believing that. Others of you are like, really? I mean, Mary, what were you thinking? Aliens? Just like on TV? They fell to the earth and they look just like the ones they make in the movies. Are you kidding me? But she got sucked into the hoax. And that can happen. We can get sucked into a hoax. Asa did. Asa, king of Judah, we left off last week with him. Asa can get sucked into a hoax. Though early in his life, he recognized that God was more powerful than he could ever imagine or think. After some 20 years of prosperity and favor and kindness of God, he forgot. In fact, he got sucked into the hoax that God isn't so powerful. God's weak. God doesn't matter. Don't need him. In fact, Satan, the Bible keeps teaching us, is our sole enemy. And this fallen world is trying to suck us into the hoax to believe, well, there is no God. This all just happened out of nothing, from simple to complex. There is no Father in heaven. You got no creator. And even if there was a God, well, he's weak, distant, harsh, corrupt. When all the while we know the truth about our God, he is more powerful, more present, more loving, and more holy than we could ever imagine or think. And if Asa could come back this week, and I think he would, I think he'd want to do a follow-up. I think he'd want to tell us, listen, I've already told you, God is more powerful than you can imagine and think, but know this, God is also more present. He's not distant, he is more present. In fact, I think he'd teach us what sits right in your teaching notes. Everybody across campuses, grab your teaching notes on the back of your bulletin. We'll put it on the screen. Here's your fill in the blank. God is more present, write it down, God is more present than we think. We are not alone, and he invites us to lean in to his presence. Let's unpack the two main thoughts in what I think he'd like us to understand. Number one, it's right there in your notes. Again, repeat, but the same point. God is more present. In fact, everybody across campus, say it with me. God is more what? God is more present than we think. We are not alone. See, even when you do not look for God, even when you do not lean in to the presence of God, he is fully present. You have never been by yourself. When you say, oh good, I'm now by myself, you've never actually been by yourself. Theologically speaking, because God is everywhere present, you have never been alone. It's impossible to be by yourself. But we can pretend we are by ourselves. You can pretend you're by yourself. Just like I can pretend I'm by myself on the stage. Just like I can pretend there's nobody else in the camera shot. That it's just me sitting here. And as long as I pretend that I'm the only one sitting here, I can. But all the while you're looking and you see someone in the background, someone behind me. And I can deny their presence, I can refuse to acknowledge it, but all the while you know he's there. So would you welcome my son, Jake. Come on up, Jake. Everybody say hi, Jake. Come on up here, Jake. Jake is my third-born child, second son, 21 years old. He's on his way to his senior year of college. No comments required from anybody. See, ever since Jaden was just a little 10-pound baby, I'd love on him and hug him and hold him, and he'd grow up just a little kid, and I'd pick him up, hug on him. I don't pick him up anymore. In fact, I've told you at times that when Jake hugs me now, he drapes me. Now, I just want you to know I still love the hug. So when each of us come home, let's show him. This is what I mean. Drape me. Give me the love. Yeah. See, this is all relationship, father-son stuff. And it would break my heart if Jake didn't acknowledge my presence. This thing with God is relational. Oh, I could have stayed right out here out front, and I could keep looking out this direction and never turn around and therefore acknowledge the presence behind me. And people do that with God all the time. In fact, the majority of this world looks away from God and pretends he's not even there. But all the while, you're looking and you see him in the camera shot. You know he's present. That, by the way, is the view of heaven. Make sure you get this. Heaven is looking down. Angels are looking down. And they see us. And when they see that everywhere we go, everything we do, God is there. God's everywhere present. So they know that when you go to sleep, when you wake up, God's there. When you drive to work, God's there. When you go to school, God's there. When you're at work, when you're at lunch, God's there. When you're working out, God's there. When you're having dinner together, God's there. When you're doing recreation, God's there. When you watch TV, God's there. Whatever you're doing, God's there. And they're looking down and they're thinking, wondering the same thing you were wondering. Now, how long is PK going to leave that guy behind him and fail to acknowledge his presence? He's up to something. I mean, how long is he going to pretend nobody's there? And the angels are looking down like, how long are people going to pretend there is no God? Because they can see him as clearly as you could see Jake in the camera shot. See, Asa would tell us that his great-great-grandfather, King David, wrote from Psalm 139 and Psalm 11 the truth about the presence of God. In fact, I want us to read it together. I'm going to ask everyone across the campuses here in the room, across campuses, stand, if you would. Stand in the cafe theater. Just everyone across campuses, stand right up right now. We're going to read it together. I know it's a little inconvenient, but we're going to read it. We're going to put it on the screen. And we're going to do it in kind of a responsive reading or congregational reading. I'm going to read the PK parts. Jake is going to read the all part with you. And all of you are going to read the white all part together. This is the truth about the presence of God. Let's read it together. I'll read my part. Then you, loud and proud, read your part. Here we go. God, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?
If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there.
If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me.
Even the darkness will not be dark to you, for darkness is as light to you.
For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place.
God hasn't moved to the mountains. His holy address hasn't changed.
He's in charge as always, his eyes taking everything in, not missing a thing.
His eyes taking everything in. He's not missing a thing. That's the truth about the presence of God among us. Let's thank Jake for helping us, and you can be seated. And so there we are. There we are with the core thought that Asa would tell us, God is present, but you can pretend he's not. God is present, but you can pretend. You can what, church? You can pretend he's not. See, last week we left off with Asa, and over time, Asa eventually pretended that God was not present. See, in the early part of the story, if you go back to last week's teaching, in his early years, he faced an army that was twice his size, and he prayed to God, and God rescued him. God demonstrated that he was more powerful, but along with that, what God was proving is that he was more present. Because the very prayer of Asa was heard. God was engaged. God was right there in Asa's camera shot the whole time. And when God showed up, it was proof that God was present. In fact, turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 15. Grab your worship center Bible underneath your chair. You picked up a Bible on the way in at one of the campuses. If you're on a mobile device, it's 2 Chronicles chapter 15. If you're in the worship center Bibles, page 441, page 441, Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1. We did not read this last week, so we're going to add to the story. And here's what it tells us. After they came back from the Cushites being crushed through the power of God, verse 1, the Spirit of God came on Azariah, son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, listen to me, Asa and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. Let's do it again. If you seek him, he will be what? Found by you. One more time, everybody. If you what? Seek him, he will be found by you. That is the secret that Asa would bring to us today. What you need to know is if you will see God, if you'll turn around, you'll see that God is fully present. He will be found by you. Hey, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Verse 3, for a long time Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach, and without the law. Verse 4, but in their distress they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel. See, if you will turn to the presence of God, that's what it says. They turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, and he was what? Found by them. Verse 7, drop down. But as for you, be strong, Asa. Be strong, do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. Look what verse 8 says. Asa heard these things, and it says he took courage. He took what, everybody? Courage. See, the presence of God gave him courage. We'll come back to that. Now, that was Asa's experience, that God was more present than he imagined. But 20 years later, another army showed up. Asa was powerless, and Asa pretended that God was not present. You got to see this. He pretended, well, there is no God. No God to be present. No God that matters in this moment. He didn't pray. He didn't turn to acknowledge God. He looked this direction. He's like, oh, I'm on my own. The man is in his 40s or 50s, and he's pretending. And then when the prophet comes and speaks the truth to him, he keeps pretending. Even when the prophet makes it obvious, when Hannah and I came to him and said, hey, God's been watching the whole thing. Asa, hello, hello, God has been in your camera shot the whole time. You acted like God wasn't here, but your pretense hasn't changed the reality. And even when the truth was put in Asa's face, Asa said, no, God's not present. See, that sounds like what kids do, doesn't it? Isn't it funny when your kids, like they pretend they didn't do something, you know they did? I want us to enjoy a moment. About the next minute, this kid is adorable. Every parent knows the experience. Check it out.
John, what are you eating?
Nothing.
You didn't eat anything?
Yeah.
Okay. John, look at mommy.
Anything.
Are you telling me the truth?
That.
You didn't have any snacks?
Yeah, nope.
Let me see. You didn't have any snacks. Open wide, let me see. Really? You didn't have any snacks? Yeah. John, come here. John? Can you explain to me why the sprinkles are empty?
Well, they're not empty.
John, look at me.
They're not empty.
Did you eat those sprinkles?
No, I did not.
You know it's not nice to tell stories and to lie, right? Look at mommy. You're not supposed to lie. Tell me now, did you eat those sprinkles?
No, I did not eat those sprinkles.
John, you have sprinkles on your face.
No. I did not eat sprinkles.
Come on, that kid's adorable. Just absolutely adorable. And in the face of all the evidence, no. In the face of evidence, Asa said, no, God's not present. We can do that. We can be adults and pretend that something isn't true when it's entirely true and it's right there in front of us. Do you know, for the last 6 years of Asa's life, he pretended God was not present and never prayed again, never turned to seek the presence of God. Pretended nobody was behind me, nobody's behind me in the camera shot. In fact, if he could show up, he would tell us, listen, I always tell you my story. My name's Asa, and I pretended God was not present. And what I can tell you is this. You can pretend something's not true in life, but in death, you will know the whole truth. And in death, I realized I'd just been pretending. God was present the whole time. In fact, if I come back and tell you, I just want you to know God's present, more present than you think. And the reality is I was stubborn. Don't be stubborn like me. Man, don't rear up your back and stiffen it and say, well, God, you're not present. I'm on my own. We're not on our own. We're not alone. You've never been by yourself. God's present. In fact, I think he'd go on and tell us, you know what? Instead of that being a moment where I pretended that I had no sprinkles on my face, this could have been the turnaround in my life. This could have been the moment when I finally said to God, you know what? What was I doing wrong? When Hananiah came to me and said, what were you thinking? I should have said, you're right. What was I thinking? God is everywhere present. I've known it. It's been proven in my life. It's been proven in the world. What was I thinking? I should have taken that moment, and it should have been one of the most glorious moments of my life. I should have celebrated. God is present, more present than I think. And because of that, he'll be with me. I could have had an awakening. And even though the prophet said, now I'll be at war the rest of my life, you know what? God probably would have been gracious enough to be with me. It is no hoax. It is no prank. God is more present than you think. Men and women, what if God would give us an awakening? And you could know like you've never known before that God is more present than you have ever imagined or think. He's in every camera shot of every moment of your life. But if you will not look for him, you will not see him or find him. But he's fully present. And if you knew that God was more present than you know, how would you live? That's what brings us to the second thought. It's right there in your notes. God invites us to lean in to his presence. To do what? Lean in. To lean into his presence. And I'll tell you how I would live if I knew that God was fully present. I would lean in. I would tap into that 2 Chronicles 15:2. If you seek him, he will be found. And I would make that the core of my life. And I would know that by leaning in, God would transform some things in my life. I'm going to give you three things God will transform in your life. Three things. I put them down. You jot them down in your notes. It's more than these three things. I'll give you three that are meaningful to me. I call them the ABCs because they're easy for me to remember. A, anxiety, B, behavior, C, courage. God would transform anxiety, behavior, and courage. It's powerful. Let's talk about them. First, he would transform anxiety. So I'll just do my own little confession here. Of the many things that can vex me in life or my vulnerabilities, one of them is anxiety. Man, I wish that weren't true, but worry haunts me. I have found over the years of my life that the weight of things that I cannot control and cannot put together and cannot manage, whether it's finance, career, or family, or kids, or future, and on, I got worry issues. And those have been the thing that can take me out. It's near the top of my list. Just, hey, I'm confessing. Just out of curiosity, is there any, you gonna leave me here alone? How many of you would say, no, I know what you're talking about. I'm not alone. Others of you, no hands up. God bless you. Write a book. Or are you even in the real world? There was years ago when Marcia and I were in Israel, and this should be a life-changing trip, and it certainly was. But at one moment, we were near the Sea of Galilee, and the places of the hills of Galilee were most likely they believed Jesus delivered the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and it's profound, transforming teaching. And there we are in the very place where Jesus likely taught this 2,000 years ago. I'm standing where Jesus stood, and I'm not fully engaged. I'm distracted. I am consumed with worry and anxiety over what's not happening back home in my work related here at that time, and the risks that we were taking, the uncertainty and the instability and the problems, and they were just so overwhelming. And so I was present in Israel but absent. Do you know what I mean by that? You ever been present somewhere but absent because you were so caught up in the distraction of worry and the weight? And so while I'm there, this bird flies over, and it's as if the Spirit of God caught my attention and said, "Do you see the bird?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah, yeah. You hear the bird?" "Yeah, I do." "I take care of that bird, son." And Kevin, if you knew that you were worth more than that bird, if you knew how present I was with you, you would be present in this moment and you wouldn't worry. Oh, many of you probably know that that's exactly part of what Jesus was teaching in Matthew 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. And so God's bringing the story back to me, and I'm like, all messed up. I'll read it for you in a moment. But now I'm getting all choked up because I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm not even, I can't even live the thing I preach. And at that moment, one of the pastors, because it was a large group, and I was one of several pastors, he said, Kevin Myers, PK, would you pray over us? Yeah, okay. And I start praying, and I'm all choked up, so I sound super spiritual. And everybody's probably thinking, man, listen to him. He's so knit with God. Man, he's got a holy, spiritual, deep, sensitive thing going on. And the reason I'm all choked up is because I'm not that person. So you know, I didn't bother to tell anybody. I just went ahead and, oh, God. Some people here worry. I know they do. Help them, God, help them. Help the little people with their problems. In Matthew 6, Jesus was teaching from likely that very spot. Verse 25, I tell you the truth, do not worry about your life, what you eat, what you drink. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? I'm going to tell you something. God's paying attention to birds because he made them. It's his creation. He's fully present. He's paying attention to you. For the pagans run after all these things, meaning the people who don't believe in God. They have to worry because it's all on them. But you have a heavenly Father, and he cares for you. That's why I had to memorize Philippians 4, 5, 6, 7. Where he begins, he says, the Lord is near. The Lord is what? Near. He's writing so that the church would know the Lord is near. He's fully present. So be anxious for nothing. But in everything, meaning when you are, in everything with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Why? Because he's fully present. Just turn around. He's in the camera shot of every moment of your life. And when you worry, when you're anxious, just turn around, engage him with thanksgiving. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean he changed everything you worry about in the moment. What it means is this: he will post guard by his Spirit over your heart so that you will not be discouraged. He will post guard over your mind so that you will not be confused. And he will give you a peace that is God's peace in the midst of what you cannot control. As God was saying to me, son, I am fully present with you in every moment so that you can be fully present in every moment of your life, worry-free. I have to fight for that. If you knew God was fully present, he would transform your anxiety. Secondly, if you knew God was fully present, he would transform your behavior. Out of curiosity, how many of you are watching anything of the Olympics these days? Hands up, you're watching anything. All right, yeah. And among those, we've been watching Phelps swim. How can you not? It's just so amazing. And the other day when we were watching him, he was given a little interview, and in it he talked about being depressed and empty and lost purpose. And as he was talking, I'm thinking, well, how could you not? We live in a world that says evolution is the reason that we're here and that there is no God. And so, of course, you're here by accident. In fact, in his own words, let me just read some of the stuff he talked about between the last, what happened to him between the last Olympics and this one. He said, I was a train wreck. I was like a time bomb waiting to go off. I had no self-esteem, no self-worth. Now, you think, man, the guy has how many Olympic gold medals already before this one? He's had so much success, so much popularity, and he's what? He's empty, no esteem, no self-worth. What on earth? He writes, there's times where I didn't want to be here. It was not good. I felt lost. Phelps hit rock bottom after getting arrested for drunk driving in September of 2014, his second DUI. And in the days following the incident, he isolated himself in his bedroom in Baltimore home and considered suicide. At that time, Phelps claimed he was thinking, this is the end of my life. How many times will I mess up? Maybe the world is better off without me. Well, eventually he heeded the advice of a Christian friend who encouraged him to enter into a rehab facility. And he gave him the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and Phelps read it, and here was his response. Man, this book is crazy. The thing that's going on, oh my gosh, my brain, I can't thank you freaking enough, man. You saved my life. In a recent interview with ESPN magazine, Phelps explained that the Christian book turned me into believing there is a power greater than myself and there is a purpose for me on this planet. And the result is clear when you see in this world. Of course we'd celebrate because he figured out he's not an accident. So he asks his girlfriend, and they have a child together, you know what, we need to get married and have a family. And he gets himself soul-centered and life-centered, and he comes back to the Olympic Games with great strength. And he ends up with 22, now I think it's 23 gold medals, and more medals than anyone in the history of the Olympics. All because he discovered that God is more present than we ever imagined or thought. I'm telling you, it'll change you. In fact, in this world that keeps saying that God is absent, and if you want an explanation, you're here by some accident of evolution. I think we ought to be asking better questions of evolutionists, and they ought to be giving some real answers. Frank Sherwin, a scientist with the Institute for Creation Research, explains why he would have a Christian worldview of creation and why he believes that God exists and why we should diplomatically challenge the evolutionary community. And I know many of you, maybe you lean into that and you're like, oh no, it's obvious. Well, I don't know how well you've researched it, but I just want you to listen to 1 minute of a very legitimate question in this whole wondering of could everything have evolved slowly from simple to complex. Listen to just this minute.
But we've all heard of DNA, the famous DNA molecule, the spiral helix molecule that tells everything about us, what color eyes we'll have, what color hair. All of that is written in this DNA, which is constantly being irradiated by cosmic energy, which is coming in from the sun. And the 100 trillion cells that we have, we get almost a million lesions, that is, corrupted portions of the DNA in every 100 trillion cells. The Creator, in His infinite wisdom, has created special enzymes, we've all heard of enzymes, that attach to the DNA molecule and goes up and down the DNA molecule looking for these mistakes and correcting these mistakes, actually repairing them. It's a whole class of protein molecules called repair enzymes. My question to the evolutionary community is, how did something like that evolve through time and chance and natural processes? It shows the clear evidence of design and creation.
See, there are some real questions to be asked. Whether you follow that fully or not, I'll just give it in the bottom shelf. For the human body to work and be fully functioning, it had to be immediately fully functioning all at once. It couldn't have developed over time because all of those things needed to be in play or we would have died. It would have fallen to pieces. So it couldn't have evolved slowly. Everything had to be fully functioning all at one time. How is that possible if evolution is the slow development until it figures it out from simple to complex? There are some real issues that ought to be asked in this process. And students, I just want to say to you, I know you live in a world where this is coming at you hard and heavy, but I want you to know you have a Heavenly Father who created you, who loves you, and is fully present in your lives. And you have a purpose. And that's as significant to you as it is to Phelps. And parents, that's why I encouraged you and challenged you last week. Pray over your kids. Remind your kids before they go to school. Just a minute of a prayer of blessing. That's the challenge of season. As all our kids are going back to school. And if you weren't here last weekend, you missed the teaching, get online and go listen. Or get on our 12 Stone Facebook where we summarize it for you. And if it seems awkward to you, go listen to how we're suggesting. It's just a minute. Send your student, your kids out with a sense of the blessing and the carrying of the presence of God over their life so they'd be aware. Listen, I can't be with my kids on their school day, but God can, because He's their first Father and He's everywhere present everywhere they are. I can't be there, but He can. So that's what you want to pray into their life. Know that the presence of God is with them. And now I want to give a challenge to students. All middle schoolers and high schoolers, I'm about to offer a challenge. It's an invitation, if you will. See, let me tell you how it works in our family. In our family, I teach my kids that if you would change your behavior to agree with God's word and God's truth, it'll be a blessing transforming to your life. In order for that to occur, though, you have to know God's word. So memorize it. So I pay my kids all through their life $1 for every verse they memorize. And when they need to make money, they just memorize verses and they say them, they get $1 for every verse. So it's, when I teach them, it pays to know the word of God and it pays to live the word of God. In fact, back in the day, Jake, the 21-year-old, back when he was in middle school, he wanted to buy a mini iPod back when that was the thing, and he needed $100. I'm like, well, go memorize 100 verses. So he memorized the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, delivered it to me, got $100. Awesome. And inside the Sermon on the Mount is 5 verses called the Lord's Prayer. And here is the challenge to all middle schoolers and high schoolers. I'm going to give you a sweeter deal than I offered to my own kids. Look on the screen. Here's the challenge. August 17th through August 27th, pray the Lord's Prayer from Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It's the Lord's Prayer. Memorize the prayer and pray it daily. You get one oops. Then, 2 Sundays from now, August 28th, if you've prayed it daily and you've memorized it, you can submit your name for a drawing during the worship service. At the early part of the service on that day, we'll take all the names of all the middle and high schoolers who say, yep, I prayed it and I memorized it. Good. Then, at the end of the service, we're going to draw your name. So here's the prize. Your camp's pastor will step up, pull a name out. You come to the stage, they hand you $100 just for 5 verses. That's a good day. And if you can say the prayer live on stage in front of your campus in that moment, they'll hand you another $50. That's a really good day, but you must be present to win. All right, now, we're just going to have a little bit of fun with that over the next couple weeks, because I'm telling you, that prayer is not just something you say. It tells you how to adjust your behavior. See, align your life with the prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In fact, when you go to the landing page that they're putting on the screen, we'll send this out on social media. You'll have access to it. You'll get to see it. Go text each other, social media, send notes to each other, encourage each other. Go get this done. Because listen, at the bottom of that landing page, I tell you what I teach my kids about the power of the Lord's Prayer, and I explain it to you so you know what it means. I'm telling you, when you know the presence of God is fully present in your life, it will transform your anxiety, it'll transform your behavior, and it'll transform your courage. Your what? 2 Chronicles 15:8, Asa took courage. Listen, as soon as he realized that God was fully present, he took courage to go after new things. I want you to see this. He went after new things and took new territory. He had breakthroughs. The moment he knew God was with him, he realized that the thing he was aspiring to and climbing to and had to press through and crash through, he had the courage to go do. I'm telling you, the things men and women, whether you're in your teens, your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, the next thing God has for you, the next thing God's inspiring you, go after it. Know that the presence of God is with you, and he will give you courage to go after and conquer what you can't break through on your own. It's good stuff. Thank you very much, because I agree. That's powerful. In fact, I'm going to tell you how powerful. First of all, I want to talk to men. I talked to men last weekend. Just for a minute, let me talk to men. All 12 stone men across the campuses, I'm talking to you. Let's have a little conversation man to man. On Father's Day this past June, we had a prayer time. Hundreds of men showed up on Saturday night at 9:15. A stirring from God was a prompt for me. I'm going to honor it. I'm going to set aside a moment on Saturday, August 27th. Saturday, August 27th at 7 a.m. at Central Campus right here for any men who are willing to come. And I'm going to talk about the courage to break through into becoming a spiritual leader. I'm going to teach how do you actually pray and connect with the power of God and the presence of God. How do you bring that into the life of your career, your marriage, your family? How do you experience the transforming, ongoing presence of God because he's there? How do you turn around? And you will need courage to go after that. We're going to talk about it and practice it in that 75 minutes. Everyone's welcome. Whatever age. Let me just say this, though. Some of you are in your 40s or 50s. Hundreds of you have been carrying 12-stone for some years. Your kids are getting older. You're in the stages that I'm in. And you're saying, oh, I know what you're talking about, PK. I know exactly what you're talking about. So I don't need that. Stop. Then you are the first person that should show up. Because this awakening thing that God is stirring in us since this last June is the very thing we should be attending to. No guilt. But an invitation, I hope you'll say yes. See, we all have breakthroughs that we need in front of us. In fact, everybody's invited on Saturday night, so this isn't exclusive. Every Saturday night, 9:15 since June, I've invited every man, woman, married, single, doesn't matter. You're invited 18 and older for prayer time. So if you're like, well, how come we can't be at the prayer time? You can. It's welcome to everybody. In fact, last week, a 12-stoner, Dalton, came up to me after the service. And he told me about a breakthrough. He said, PK, did you know 3 years ago you talked about breakthrough? I said, well, yeah. He said, let me tell you something. I wrote it down. I did what you said. I went after a breakthrough. It's taken me 3 years. It's been difficult, but God's given me courage. I've pushed through, and I want you to know I've hit it. I was so inspired by him. I thought, man, he needs to inspire all of us. So I called him this past week. I said, would you just make a raw, real, to the point, quick, unpracticed iPhone video, send it to me and let me play it for the weekend, because everybody needs to know whatever your breakthrough is, God will help you do it no matter how long it takes to get there. You go after it. God will be with you. Listen to Dalton's story.
3 years ago, I was trying to go ahead and apply for the police academy, and Pastor, the PK, he had a teaching on breakthrough, and he had told us to write down something that we had wanted to go ahead and break through, and I wrote down on the band police training, and I had tried and had tried, and but no agency would take me. But finally, like a good about 10 months ago, I had finally got sworn in as a police officer, and finally got to the breakthrough of the police training. So I'm actually happy about that. My graduation is going to be August 23rd. And then that's when I break this, then complete the breakthrough that God put on my heart.
Come on, isn't that beautiful? Good for you, Dalton. That's awesome. And listen, God was with Dalton, and God is with you. If you will turn and acknowledge, as I did with Jake, that God is present, that he's with you, and you would lean into his presence, it will be transforming for your life. So as I turn the service over to the campus pastors, I want to pray for you. We got a couple questions. Those questions sit at the bottom of your notes. Questions like, will you seek him? Will you begin to talk with God? Because he's with you in every moment. Talk to him. Turn around. Engage God. And which of the ABCs need to be transformed in your life? Anxiety, is that yours? Behavior? New courage? Which is yours? So let's pray together. Father, I want to bring everyone who's listening and willing to engage in this moment before you into your presence. Because you have been present, and many times we look forward in life and we don't recognize that you're right there with us. We never turn around. We don't recognize you're in the camera shot. And right now, God, would you grant an awakening across our church? For everyone willing to receive it, would you awaken us to the reality that, oh my goodness, God is more present than I think. And that'll change, God. It'll change the way we think and live if we would lean in. Right now, I want to pray for those who are saying, God, I need courage. I got some things that I need to break through that are in front of me. They're reaching higher. They're pushing. Maybe it's going to take us a while like Dalton, but God, would you give us courage as we tap into your presence, as we lean in? God, there's some of us, our behavior has to change. Even for the students, I pray there'd be a movement among us to begin to pray, and maybe parents will join in the memorizing of this Lord's Prayer, and we begin to come before you and acknowledge that you're with us, and that we join in applying that prayer in our lives, and you change our behavior to line up with the wisdom of your word, and our life becomes so blessed. Maybe some of us like me, God, have just battled with worry and anxiety. And if that's you right now, would you offer your anxiety and your worry to the Lord right now? What is it? You just, right where you're seated, you begin to pray. Offer yours. God, because you tell us if we would bring our petitions, our concerns, what burdens us right now, people are telling you, man, I'm worrying about what's going on in my marriage, with my family, with my kids, with my career, with my education, with my finances, with my future, with retirement, with my health. And on the list goes, in relationships and the like. God, I'm worried about what's not happening. I can't find the date that I want or the relationship I want. God, I can't find the resources. God, I can't get into university. God, I can't find the next job. God, I don't know how to go to the next level in my career. God, I don't know how to solve what's breaking down in my family. God, I'm a bit afraid about school this year. The list goes on and on. So because you're with us, would you post guard over our heart and over our mind? Holy Spirit, would you even now, for everyone who by faith would lean into your presence, as we practice seeking you and acknowledging your presence, would you graciously give us peace that passes all understanding and allows us to be fully in every moment because you are fully present with us. Let this be the beginning of a next level awakening among us, I pray. And may you get all the glory in Christ's name. And everyone agreed, saying, amen. May God be that kind to us. And now I want to tell you a little bit of a story and play a